We're doing the Sefer Amidot. We're up to page Shin Lamed Vav. We were at the concluding two lines of the middle paragraph. And Magen Midovna had said that if a person knows he has enmity towards someone, he should not be the one to rebuke them. Lachen blom picha. If a person hates someone, he should keep his mouth shut, pintei Hashem betochachtecha, lest he be faulted with his own rebuke. V'teshchit et nafshecha, and one who hates will destroy his soul, tell him t'taken et nefesh chavercha, before he ever improves his friend's soul by rebuking him. V'elokim yanet chavercha ra'ui lo mimcha, and God will answer your friend, he is more fitting than you, k'ma'amar, as the verse says, v'lo yisa elokim nefesh. God doesn't take a life. God brings about causes for taking a life, which is another way of saying, if the guy needs rebuke, then God has his ways of getting that message to him. And God is more fitting to get the message to him, because if the person hates him, then he's not the one who should be rebuking him. God doesn't simply take a life. There are warning signs. When we're doing something wrong, so God gives us warnings. God has his way of rebuking us. Take a look. See what happened to the earlier ones who were brazen. Paro, Nebuchadnezzar, v'domehem. The ones like them. Asherinu et nafshoteinu, that afflicted our souls. Gam ki hakol haya b'hashgachat ha'elyon baruch hu, even though all of it was under God's planning, right? We know God foretold of the suffering under Pharaoh, the exile under Nebuchadnezzar. So it was all hashgacha. It didn't just happen. And obviously God planned for us to suffer at their hands. Im kol zecharaf Hashem bam. Nonetheless, God was upset at them. Al roa machshavtam, because their thoughts were nonetheless evil. Ki ezidu aleinu bizdon libam v'aritzut nafsham, because they turned on us with their evil inclinations. They personally wanted to afflict us. And they rejoiced seeing us suffer. So even though God intended on us being under Nebuchadnezzar and Pharaoh, but what were Pharaoh and Nebuchadnezzar's thoughts? So the Magen Midovna says, you want to come rebuke your friend? Wait a second. How much are you going to enjoy giving him over the head? If you enjoy giving him over the head, you shouldn't be the one to be rebuking him. And it doesn't matter how much he needs to hear it. Someone else better tell him. I'll tell you a story. There was a guy who had a miserable roommate. The guy came for a visit. Okay, we'll call the first guy Chaim. And the next guy, Mark. So Mark's coming in to visit. He's visiting his friend Chaim in yeshiva. So Mark comes in like a good old tourist. This is the days before you had limits on your luggage. You could bring in two large pieces of luggage. These are the days before they limited to you to one little piece of luggage.
No weight limit?
There was a weight limit, but it was very high. It was 70 pounds. So, or 62 pounds. It was very high. So Mark comes in. He's got his camera over one shoulder. He's got his tripod over the other. He's got his guitar. All these don't count, like on a plane. And he's got his two big suitcases. And he comes to visit his friend Chaim in yeshiva. They get approval from the dorm counselor. He's going to be there for 10 days. And he puts it all in the middle of the room so no one can get around it. And, of course, he sets up his bed and pulls out all the chairs. And now his bed is very nice and comfy. And everyone else is stuck with all the stuff around the room. They can't get around anywhere. And he goes and parties and comes up to the room middle of the night, wakes everyone up. He doesn't even realize how inconsiderate he is. So Chaim is wondering, shouldn't I tell him something? Like, what's with him? He doesn't realize how difficult it is to be his roommate. So day one, day two, day five. And I said to Chaim, don't say anything. They reach day 8, and Mark is leaving. That's it. It's his last day there. And Chaim comes to me and says, okay, do I talk or not? And I said, well, now you have a question. Until now, you didn't have a question. Until now, anything you would have said, you wouldn't have said for his benefit, you would have said for your benefit. That's not rebuking. If your point was, you have a hard time with what he's doing in your room, so you're entitled, you live in the room. But you kept saying that for your sake, you don't need to say anything. The only reason to tell Mark something was because that later on in life, you better know what's right. If that was your real intent, then now we can start talking about whether you should talk to him. Because now it's not relevant to you anymore. He's leaving your life.
I don't understand the connection.
Again, Chaim kept saying, I wouldn't say anything for myself. Because for myself, it doesn't... I can manage, fine, it's only a week. But Mark is going to move on in life. He has to learn to be a more considerate person to other roommates. So for Mark's sake, I want to say something. So I said to Chaim, okay, now you're on the eighth day. He's leaving you, right? Now we have to wonder whether you know how to say it to him. Because now if you'll come talk to him, you're not talking on your own behalf. You can really say, I'm talking for you, not for me.
Or there's another option to where he's saying it with possibly some anger.
Right, right. So Chaim has to check himself really well and ask himself, what's my intention? Can I get the point across in a kind way? Can I say it in a way that he'll understand I care for him?
So what exactly is it that the Magen Meduvna is saying with regards to this?
The Magen Meduvna is saying, if you ever consider rebuking someone, you have to first know that you love them. It can't be that you're upset at them, that you hate them, that you can't stand them, that they get on your nerves. In that case, you're not rebuking them for the sake of the mitzvah of rebuke. It's because you're bothered. That's no different than Nebuchadnezzar. God decrees the temple should be destroyed. God decrees the people of Israel should be exiled. But when Nebuchadnezzar came in, he came in to do what he wanted, not what God wanted. When Paro came in, he wanted to afflict the Jews. The fact that God had predetermined it would happen, that's irrelevant, because Paro wasn't doing God's will. He was doing his own will. Proof of the pudding, when God says enough, Pharaoh says no. So the same is true even with mitzvahs. If I have to do a mitzvah that's painful to someone else, the question is, am I doing it right? Am I doing it for the sake of the mitzvah? Says the Magen Meduvna, when it comes to rebuke, don't say anything. If you don't know that you're doing it out of love, if there's any element of happiness at his fall, so then you're not the one to rebuke him. Lachen shmor nafshecha milanosh tchavecha olisno oto. Be so careful not to punish a person, not to hate him. Gam im yisitcha yitzcha v'yomar lecha ki ra'uy u'mitzva lisno oto migodol rishato. Even if your desire causes you to feel like, oh, you should hate him, he's so wicked. Gam im emet kenu, even if in truth it's true. Aval ata chashov natchila im nafshecha olay tismach mapalto. But ask yourself, am I happy to see his fool? Then you should know that God doesn't approve. People will very often say, of course you should hate him, he's wicked. Wait a second. Where does it come from? Are you happy that he's falling? If one is not pure in his heart, he doesn't have the right to hate. Look at the Sodomites. Terrible people, right? And yet no one could look at their destruction except for Avram. Because the day earlier, Avram was pleading, God, don't destroy them. Wait a second, Avram, they're antithetical to you. You're trying to promote a world of kindness, and the Sodomites are the exact opposite. What are you doing? Yeah, because Avram fought for their lives, because he didn't want to see them suffering. He wanted them to repent, he didn't want them to suffer, so he could look and see them overturned. Because there's no inkling of happiness in him. So yes, ba'avod l'shem rina, when the wicked get destroyed, there's a certain happiness in the world. Look, we got rid of the wicked. You got to be on that level. Aval im ba'nefesh ata, te'avel al zeh v'titpalel alav. If a person really has a soul, he'll be saddened at someone else's downfall, he'll pray over him. V'tishtadel b'tikunoy m'efshar b'tnei m'vo'arim. And he'll try to help him with whatever he can. You can't do anything, let God deal with him. God will hopefully help him get to the right path so that he ends up in the right place, as the verse says. God thinks about things and tries to ensure that no one is left behind. So, This is a very powerful section here in the Ma'an Miduvna. Very often there are people who find the areas in Halacha that permit them to hate someone. And I always say there are so many mitzvos that speak about the positive. Let's look for them. Let's not look for the loopholes. Where can I hate this guy?